feel like people listening to this, if you learn nothing else than to cultivate awareness around what you're feeling, that is the catalyst for so much.
Hi, I'm Ebony, and I believe that stories change lives, and everyone has a story worth telling. Sometimes, unfortunately, we let our self-doubt get in the way of us writing our stories and sharing our stories. So that's why I created Motivation to Write as a source of motivation and inspiration to help writers like you and me share our stories with the world. So I talk to the experts ranging from entrepreneurs to marketers to authors to therapists to psychologists who share their knowledge and their advice to help writers like you and me step into our full potential.
Jacqueline Steele is a podcaster, writer, blogger, and teacher who empowers people to expand their spiritual awareness and grow into the best versions of themselves. As a teacher, Jacqueline Steele helps people identify and release the limiting beliefs holding them back from success. She believes in the power of meditation, energy, and love to transform our mindsets and lives.
Jacqueline, I am so happy to talk with you today. And I was going over your message prior to our recording, but I also want to mention, not that anyone heard our conversation prior, but you are a podcaster, you're a writer, a blogger, and a coach. What type of coach are you?
Yeah, so, you know, I just full transparency have had some reservations around the word coach. And so I've used it in some instances, but really what I have learned upon reflection is that I love to teach and I love to teach what I know. So rather than saying I'm a coach anymore, I really, really relate to the idea that I'm a teacher and I love, love, love to empower people based on my own life experiences. I don't love the idea of, and I think it works beautifully for some people, it's just not in alignment with who I am, of saying like, I know how to live life, follow me. That is not really my MO. It's much more about like, I had this really enlightening experience, or I had this really difficult experience, and here are the nuggets that I learned from it. Mm-hmm. How can we dive into that?
Right. Yeah. Okay. So that's great. So teacher.
Yes. Yeah.
So of these different roles that you play, like the podcaster, the writer, the blogger, and a musician, by the way, I get like,
yeah. Yeah, I've done a lot of things.
Yeah. I listened to one of your songs prior. You have a beautiful voice.
Thank you.
So which of these kind of came first for you? Kind of discover that you were a writer early on, or did you early on know that you wanted to help people in a teaching, kind of as a teacher in that teacher role, or?
You know, that is such a good question. And the first thing that comes to mind is being 5 or 6 years old and feeling this deep, deep and profound connection to God. Mm. And as a child, I just, you know, as children do, because we are not conflicted by all of the outside noise that we so often now feel as adults in the Western world, you know, so much stimulation, constant overstimulation. As a child, I had a very quiet childhood. I grew up in Iowa. I grew up in a town, but I went to school 20 minutes away, so none of my friends were nearby.
Yeah.
And I spent a lot of time reading, thinking, praying. As a young child. And so I think from that point on, there was this deep and profound knowing that I was connected to something so much bigger than myself. And we all have the capacity to be connected to something so much bigger than ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so as I grew and life came in and said, hey, you need to choose a career path. You need to do this. You need to do this. You need to do this. I found it very hard to morph into one box. So I tried a lot of things. I went to college. I went to Baylor University. I graduated. I did Teach for America. So I taught first grade for a little while. Then I went into the corporate world. then I did this music competition and ended up winning it, and then got a record deal, which kind of fell apart. But all of that was such a giant learning experience. But the underpinning through all of those different modalities of learning was that God is the only constant. My connection to a greater power is really the only constant in life. And so if I can be connected to that and then teach from that place or help other people from that place, instead of it coming from me, it feels much more like a divine experience. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Because there's very much a part of me that's like, who am I to put out this writing? Who am I to say I'm a teacher? Who am I to whatever, whatever, whatever? And that's where the self-worth part comes in, because I think self-worth is such a giant, giant part of creating traction and movement and growth in our lives. But when I think about it from a divine perspective, and hey, I have this connection to spirit that's so profound and deep and beautiful, and we all have the capacity to have that connection, how can I facilitate that or be a catalyst for that in other people so that we feel less alone, so that we feel more oneness, more connection, more love? It's really very simple.
Yeah, it is, and we make it very complicated. I actually, I was thinking about this last night because I was watching this. There was an author called, his name is Gary Zukav.
I love him.
Yeah. So I happened to get this email from, I'm on his email list. And I happened to get this email about a video he did. I can't think of there was a host. He was talking to someone on their show. And so I watched it, and he said something that really caught my attention. He said that he is just channeling information from the universe. So when he's writing his books, it's not like he's taking credit for these are my ideas and all, you know, yeah, coming from me. He said he's a channel for all of this information. And I thought, of course, that's really what I want as a creator myself, is to be a channel. I think that's why I sometimes get so stuck as far as just creating content, creating, period, is I'm not opening myself to what does the universe want to come through me, right? I'm always trying to like take control of.
Yeah, and that's so human and so normal.
Yeah. And so that's really, I'm happy to hear that this is something that you discovered at such an early age, at the age of 5, to know that you had a connection with your higher power, right? Mm-hmm. And that you wanted to use that connection to add value to your world and the people in your world. That's
Well, thank you. And I mean, it's been a journey, and there have certainly been moments where I've doubted that, certainly been moments where I've had difficulty connecting with that higher power. But I feel like overall, when I think about the scope of my life, what could be more important than helping other people, uplifting, empowering other people? I mean, what else? I mean, truly, what else is there?
Right.
We're here to connect. We're here to live in community. Mm-hmm. And I want to be a person that lifts other people up and makes them feel like they have purpose and love and joy in their lives.
Mm-hmm. So then when did you begin to understand that there's something called a limiting belief?
You know, I would say early in my 20s, but I didn't have the language around it, and I didn't fully understand what that meant. Mm-hmm. But for your listeners who maybe aren't familiar, I'm sure most of them are, but a limiting belief is something we carry with us in our subconscious. Mm-hmm. And it's something that, unfortunately, a lot of the time drives the vehicle. And it's usually rooted in some childhood experience that we had. And during that experience, we came to a conclusion where it could be, well, if I do this, then this is going to happen. And we make that an absolute truth in our lives, when really it's based on one experience we had in adolescence. And so we carry that with us, and it essentially drives the vehicle in usually really important areas of our life. Mm-hmm. And by understanding what that limiting belief is and then undoing it so many different channels open up, whether it's inspiration or money or opportunity or creativity or professional whatever. It's amazing and astounding what can happen when we uncover what we are carrying around, these BS, what we would consider absolute truths that we don't even understand we're considering absolute truths. Mm. So maybe it would be helpful to give an example.
Yeah.
I know for me, one of the things that I really struggled with was making money doing what I loved. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't know how I can create money while doing something spiritual, because I grew up in this super conservative Christian household. And those two things, spirituality and money, just seemed like polar opposites, mm-hmm. right? And so many people have that experience.
Yeah.
Then when you think about it from a higher level perspective, you're like, helping people, loving them, teaching them to love themselves, teaching them to heal themselves, teaching them to be empowered. Mm-hmm. What's more valuable than that? Mm-hmm. But what I realized my core belief around money was, is that if I make money, I'm going to make other people uncomfortable, and it's going to cause separation between me and people that I love, or me and strangers. They're going to think of me a certain way. They're going to have preconceived notions, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And as I have given up that belief, it has made way for much more empowering beliefs, such as I make money, I'm able to bless other people mm-hmm. and help them so much more mm-hmm. than if I was sitting every day going, how am I going to pay my rent? How am I going to pay my cell phone bill? How am I going to pay my student loans?
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think a lot of people can relate to limiting beliefs around money. As a matter mm-hmm. of fact, in that video, I mean, so amazing that I watched this video just last night before I had this conversation with you, because there was the host. I wish I could think of this guy's name, but he went through this meditation and to kind of figure out what energetic blockages you have that are mm-hmm. you know, that are causing blockages in your life, right? So yeah. He said, you know, the big four, I think it's like four or five, but like it's usually you either have a money financial blockage, or there's relationships, some type of spiritual blockage, and then there's one more. But I think career. And I think a lot of people who grew up, especially I grew up in a very conservative Christian household too. And I remember this one scripture that was probably taken out of context was something like the love of money is the root of all evil.
Yes.
And so I think I interpreted that as just the love of money, period, is the root. I mean, just money. If you like money, money mm-hmm. is the root of all evil, not necessarily even the love of it, just money. And so mm-hmm. I've always associated like having a lot of money with something, you know, sinful.
Bad. Yes.
Bad, right. Yeah.
Totally. Totally. And what I've discovered as I've gotten older, and I think this is so important, is that money amplifies whoever you are and your character. So if you are a kind, loving human being and you have money, you are able to do so much good in the world. I have full body chills just thinking about it. Yeah. Like amazing things, blessing people out of the blue. Like here's $500, here's $200. Hey, here's $1,000 to go pay your mortgage for the month.
Right. Yeah.
On the flip side, if you are somebody with character, again, money amplifies whoever you already are. If you're somebody with a character that is stingy or selfish or whatever, money is going to amplify that. It's right. not money that's the problem, though.
Right.
It's yeah. the character inside of us. And we get to choose how we use money. Mm-hmm. I think another really limiting belief around money is that we have no control over it. Mm-hmm. Whoever we're employed by controls our money, or whatever kind of freelance work and whoever is paying us, they control our money. Mm-hmm. But really, we have so much more power than we understand. We are so limitless, but we are taught to have all of these limits. Yeah. And that's why uncovering and pinpointing limiting beliefs is so powerful because it unleashes human potential. It unleashes our individual potential.
Yeah, that's I was talking with a meditation teacher a few or last week, and he was saying something very similar. Like, we just don't realize how powerful we are. If we look around, like, everything around us started with a thought.
Yes. Right?
Someone had the thought to create this. And we're always creating, whether stories in our head about what happened, what's going to happen tomorrow, or what happened the other day, or we're always in this creation mode. And it's really based on choices, right? The choices that we make help to create the stuff around us. And 100%. A lot of us just overlook that point. Like, I'm not out of control, right? Like, as you were saying, it's not like this person's controlling my income, and so I have to give up all my power. Because once you do that, you do give up all your power, and it's like you're not taking responsibility for what you can change, right? But once you realize that you have the power and you take responsibility, that's a game changer.
It's a total game changer. And I think that's one of the keys to empowering yourself is understanding you have control. Marianne Williamson, I forget the exact quote, and it's so beautiful. It's such a beautiful quote, but she says essentially, in essence, we're not afraid that we're powerless. Right, yeah. We are afraid that we're infinitely powerful. And we can either, I mean, to me, I see two choices here. We can either give our power away and make other people responsible for our reality, or we could take the road less traveled, take radical responsibility for our lives and say, I actually do have so much power. That doesn't mean we're going to be in control of other people. Doesn't mean we're going to be in control of the world, but we are in control of our emotions, of our mindset, of the way we act in this world. Right. And that is extremely powerful.
Yeah.
One of the things that I find most powerful about that truth is that as I elevate, as I change my vibration and my frequency to higher frequencies and higher levels of consciousness and awareness and personal development, the people that orbit around me have no choice other than to elevate to that level or spin off.
Right.
And I don't mean me specifically. I mean that everywhere. And we get so caught up as humans wanting to fix other people to fit the mold we want them to be in our lives. It's a normal human thing. We all do it in certain areas. However, the fastest way to change someone else is to change yourself.
Right. Yeah.
And I know Michael Jackson, his name has been put through a lot over the last few years for good reason, but that song, Man in the Mirror, is so profound. I'm starting with the man in the mirror. I'm asking him to change his ways. And I feel like as humans, we get so distracted wanting to change everything else, everybody else, all of the other stuff, when really the most profound change we will ever experience is when we start with ourselves and start elevating and becoming more aware of who we are and what we're capable of.
Yeah. And this is what Gary Zukav, and if you've never heard of him, I really highly suggest you Google him and read some of his books.
Oh, and his books are good.
Yeah, I just read Spiritual Partnership, which is that's like another game changer with relationships with everyone, right? But he talks about what you're talking about is what he calls authentic power, right? When instead of he talks about there are really only two choices. You're either committed to love or you're committed to fear, right? And every decision you make, you're either making it out of fear or you're making it out of love. And that's the challenge. So the spiritual growth comes in challenging your fears, right? And being willing to examine the fear, explore it, and grow through it instead of succumbing to it, right? That's the authentic power, is challenging the fear and choosing love every single time.
And it really is that simple. I think, again, like you said earlier, we just severely overcomplicate things. But one of the fastest ways to invite in more love is in a specific situation. Let's say you are feeling in a romantic relationship, jealousy or a sense of fear that somebody is about to leave or whatever it could be, however your thoughts spiral. In that moment, stop for a minute, take a breath and say, how can I invite love into this situation? Mm-hmm. What is the most loving thought I could have right now? Mm-hmm. How can I treat myself with love mm-hmm. in this moment? And it totally changes the vibration and the frequency of the situation. Mm-hmm. We are so powerful. We can instantaneously change our state if we choose to. Yeah. It may take a little practice, definitely takes some cultivating of awareness, but it is so possible and it's so powerful. It will change your life. If you choose to go into that state of love rather than that state of fear. Mm-hmm. Neil Donald Walsh, who wrote Conversations with God, which is one of my favorite books in the world. Mm-hmm. He said that every single human of emotion is either rooted in fear or in love. Mm-hmm. Every single emotion. Mm-hmm. So whatever it is that we're feeling, if we can cultivate awareness around it and then ask that question, am I sitting in fear or sitting in love right now? That's a really profound thing to ask ourselves. And then the choices we make afterward can become a lot clearer. Mm-hmm. Like, do I want to move toward love in this moment? Or do I want to continue to stay in this state of fear?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And I know for myself, it just seems like fear is just the default mode.
Yeah.
I'm just so used to choosing out of fear. And I know it has a lot to do with how I was raised and had society just in general is always telling you to be scared of this, be scared, 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 scared. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's how they sell us things, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's evil.
Yes. Yeah.
But it's cultural and society and familial conditioning. Mm-hmm. It is. I mean, how many times have you heard like, oh, things are going so well. I'm just waiting for the shoe to drop.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How negative and awful is that? What if the other shoe isn't going to drop? And we're just wasting all this time living in fear, just waiting for something bad to happen. Why are we wasting energy like that? We've been taught to.
Yeah.
So again, going back to the limiting beliefs, that's why it's so important to understand what you're carrying with you so that you can stop. Mm-hmm. So you can choose better. So I can choose better. So all of us can choose better, because that state of fear is, I mean, yes. And I experienced it in my family. I experienced it in my town and my upbringing.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, we have so much power to undo it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So how, Jacqueline, can we start to identify some of these limiting beliefs?
I think the easiest way to start is by starting with whatever you're struggling with. Mm-hmm. You know, so let's say it's a career problem or a money problem, or going back to those levels that in that talk you heard, you know, maybe it's a relationship problem.
Yeah.
Then talking about that, whatever that issue is, getting down to the root of it, and then saying, what is it that you believe in this moment? Right. And in general, once you dive deep and start having these conversations, and if people are willing to get honest, they'll say, well, I'm afraid that if I mess up, this person's going to leave me.
Right. Yeah.
And then you go, well, why do you feel that way? And I'm just, you know, I'm pulling examples right now. Well, my mom left my dad when my dad did this. Mm-hmm. And so then you realize, I am afraid that if I'm not perfect, I'm unlovable.
Right. Yeah.
And then you have the opportunity to flip that around and say something to the effect of, I am imperfect and so lovable. Mm-hmm. Or something along those lines. And then you start to reinforce that in your life, because as an adult, and you're viewing this from an aerial perspective. You're like, I created that belief when I was little based on what happened to me with my parents when I was 10 years old, for instance. Mm-hmm. And then when you take it to an aerial perspective, you go, oh, well, no one's perfect. Mm-hmm. If the only way I'm going to be lovable is if I'm perfect, then I'm never going to be lovable and no one will ever be lovable. And so you start to realize the cracks in the foundation of that belief. And it becomes so clear and so obvious that carrying this belief no longer serves you in any way, shape, or form, because it's so, so, so untrue. But until you get to that point of realizing, you know, again, going back to that belief, if I'm not perfect, this person will leave. You don't know. And so you just keep carrying that and bringing it into every relationship.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And I, you know what, relationships, and I'm not just talking about romantic relationships. I'm talking about all relationships. That's where I feel like so much of, I don't even know how to say this. It's almost like everything in our lives is kind of a manifestation of relationships, our relationship to ourself, people, our relationship to our higher source, right? And there's, and that's where all of the pain and the growth happens usually is in your relationship with money, your relationship. So I had this experience just recently where I experienced an intense fear in a relationship I'm in. And I didn't really understand the depth of the fear until like recently. And I think that as I age, the depth of the fear, and I don't deal with it, it just becomes more and more intense. And I said, something, I need to get to the root of it, right?
Yeah.
So there was, I had this urge to free write it out, to just go somewhere, sit down, and just let the fear flow through my pen. Like, don't judge it or just, and I was so scared to do that. I think I almost started crying because I didn't, I was so scared of what was going to come out, but I did. And, just how can I even say, it was like this really strong anger and, fear of like my 11-year-old self when my parents separated. Like, that 11-year-old girl had so much pain and fear that she had not fully expressed, and it all came out in like 5 minutes of me sitting there. Wow. And I was, after having free written for about 5 minutes, I remember I was like sweating. I was sweating.
Yeah.
I think I might've even been crying. I can't even remember, because it was just, it was almost like an out of body experience.
Yeah.
Down. But I named her, I gave her a name. Mm. And so every time that feeling, the fear comes up, I say, oh, okay, I know who that is. Right. Mm-hmm. And I don't get angry or just like, shut up, stop. Like, I can lovingly say it's going to be okay, because I understand it's the 11-year-old within me that just wants to be hugged. Right. Mm-hmm. And wants to be told that everything's going to be okay.
But that's, and how powerful.
Yeah.
Well, and it takes so much guts to sit and free write like that, to face the fear.
Yeah.
It really does. I mean, that's why so many of us stay in pain and stay in our stuckness, because it's scary to address the fear.
Yeah.
But in my experience, and it sounds like in your experience too, the fear of facing the fear is so much worse than the reality of facing the fear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And obviously your body needed to release that. You had a physical reaction from an emotion. And I think that's another really important point. Like, we are so interconnected as beings. Our soul, our emotions, our physical body, it's all connected. All of it. The book, You Can Heal Your Life by Louise Hay, is such a profound book. I mean, it talks about physical ailments and what emotion they're tied to, and then what belief you can replace it with. And I believe all of that to my core. We are energetic beings. And if we have something that we are holding on to that is a low vibrational energy, it manifests physically, emotionally. However, that's why it's so important to continue to face these fears and release them, even if it's uncomfortable. I did a podcast that came out today about the discomfort of growth. And normalizing, we are souls here to continually expand. But as humans, expansion and change often feels scary. There's fear that comes along with it, and discomfort, sometimes really intense discomfort.
Yeah.
But the alternative to growth is staying the same.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's so important to normalize, like, as we grow, as we have more relationships and define what it is we're feeling in that relationship, whether it's fear, anxiety, or whatever, it's all part of the process and it's all here for us for our growth. Mm-hmm. It's not happening to us in a victim state. It is happening as an opportunity for us to expand and grow. Mm-hmm. And being uncomfortable is sometimes exactly what we need to be so that we can squeeze out of this smaller version into ourselves into the larger, more expanded version.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I've always been athletic and I've always loved, I did dance, right? And I was all throughout high school, but I've always enjoyed, oddly enough, I've always enjoyed exercising. I know that sounds kind of weird because a lot of people can hate it.
Not at all. I get it.
Yeah. But what I really love about it is that point where I feel like I'm going to just vomit. Like I'm just pushing myself, right? I feel like if I'm squatting, I'm just going to collapse or whatever it is. And if I can just do one more, just push through the pain, because I know that that's where the muscle is going to build, right? The muscle is going to break down, then rebuild. And I've always tried to just apply that through. I think that's a great metaphor through life, is all of these challenges that you go through and you feel like you just want to collapse and give up. Just a little bit, just push through it. Because if you push through it instead of running away to avoid it, right? I don't want to exercise or whatever. If you actually do it, that's where the growth happens, right?
100%.
Yeah.
100%. Paulo Coelho, mm-hmm. he's one of my favorite authors. He says it's always darkest before the dawn.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so easy to give up in the 11th hour. But if we just stick with it a little longer, mm-hmm. I mean, I understand. Like, I get it. I've gone through periods of my life where I was like, what am I doing here?
Mm-hmm.
This is awful. But if instead of trying to push that away and pretend like it's not happening or medicate it or numb it out, we sit in it and we lean into it and we ask, what do I need to learn in this situation so that I can move past it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Such amazing, deep growth can occur. And then what you learn on the other side in that 12th hour, you know, after the darkness, and then when the dawn is coming in, your perspective on life changes so much mm-hmm. that in my experience, I look back on those times that were so difficult and I'm like, I'm so grateful, because now I have the tools in my toolbox to overcome this and this and this and this. And now not only overcome it for myself, but be able to have empathy and compassion and understanding for other people going through similar situations mm-hmm. and then having some tools to lend them because I went through the same thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think that's it's so powerful to be able to use what you've learned through your hardship, because a lot of people are scared to do that. It takes vulnerability and courage to sometimes share your story with other people, right?
For sure.
And so, but if you can find the courage to share, because there's sometimes a lot of shame that comes with hardships that we go through.
Right.
But if you can find the courage to share your experience, even more like blessings open up, because now you're helping someone else to process their pain, and hopefully they'll pay it forward and help someone else, you know, it's kind of like this.
Amen. Yeah. Well, and I have a teacher who said the greatest lie we tell ourselves is that we are separate. We're all so connected. Mm-hmm. So when I think about it from that perspective, I go, chances are if I've experienced something like this, there are a ton of other people that have experienced it. And there's no shame in being human. There's no shame in like failing. There's no shame in making mistakes. There's no shame in talking about things that happened to us that were outside of our control.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact of the matter is, like you said, as we share that story and normalize our experience, we give permission to other people to release themselves from that story.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And healing can take place. Right. If I have all of these experiences, whether they be wonderful or super traumatic, which I've had both, and I hold them all inside to myself, they die with me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But if I release them and talk about them, then they have the opportunity to sprout wings and bless other people mm-hmm. or help other people or lift them up or make them feel less alone. Mm-hmm. And again, like, isn't that what we're here for? Mm-hmm. Aren't we here to connect with other humans?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We are. And a lot of us are scared of connection. Mm. It's almost as if we feel that if we really start to connect with people, they're going to see parts of us that we would really rather them not see.
Right? Absolutely. Absolutely. And like you said, it's vulnerable. Mm-hmm. But then too, we can go back to those limiting beliefs. Like, what did you learn in adolescence that, you know, maybe it was the first time you were truly vulnerable with somebody and they laughed at you,
right?
Or they shamed you. And so then the belief becomes, if I'm truly myself, I will be shamed. Mm-hmm. And so we have to undo that too. And sometimes there's a little trial and error involved. This is not like a perfect world that we're living in. And so not every person you come into contact with is going to be safe for you to be vulnerable with.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
But as you build trust with people, the only way to go to the depths of relationship is through vulnerability. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so if we want true, authentic connection, it's going to require me to say, hey, I really, really messed up in this situation and I need some advice.
Right.
Yeah. Or, hey, I'm terrified of this and I'm not exactly sure why. Can I talk this out with you? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That creates true, authentic, real connection where people know you to your depths. Mm-hmm. And on the flip side, hey, I just experienced this wild thing and I can't believe this opportunity came up and I really want to share it with you. Mm-hmm. You know, then you can have people mourning with you and celebrating with you.
Right. Yeah.
And I think that's so important.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I was talking with someone last week who uses visualization to,
yeah.
She actually had a traumatic, she suffered from anxiety. She suffered from anxiety. And then she, through various like miraculous events, found this seminar on visualization and that just changed her life, where she practices it every morning, where she visualizes how she wants her day to go. And it's not that you do this and magically everything's going to happen the way you visualized it, but it puts you in that energetic space where you just feel happier, right? You feel a little bit more. Mm-hmm. This is the way if she uses it to cultivate joy, is what she says.
That's beautiful.
Then when you're in this energetic space and you're looking for things to go well, right? And when you start looking for things to be grateful for, you're looking for ways that you can feel better, then that's when opportunities start to open up for you. Yeah. So is there anything like you do as far as like a personal practice, a spiritual practice or whatever to help cultivate joy in your life?
I meditate every single day. I think visualization is so powerful. I have not mastered that yet. But meditation, because like she was saying, she visualizes to feel joy. We are energetic beings and we determine the level of frequency we are operating on. And for me, if I were to wake up and just start my day, mm-hmm. I am not operating at a frequency that I know I'm capable of. Mm-hmm. I need to read in the morning. I need to meditate. I need to sit with a cup of coffee and be quiet. That sets the tone for my day where I feel like I'm ahead of my day rather than my day ruling me.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's powerful.
Oh, meditation has just changed my life. I can be tightly wound. I'm more of a type A personality person. I'm driven. I'm ambitious, but it can be so easy to get caught up in my head and caught up in my thoughts. And there can be a block between the head and the heart. And I feel like meditation allows me to drop into the heart space and just be quiet for a while, mm-hmm. to really, really allow my soul to come forward rather than this physical body that carries all the energies of the world. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I feel like meditation allows me to tap into that much, much higher frequency.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, you've mentioned a lot about energy. And so I study energy healing. Like,
you do?
I did. Yeah, yeah.
I want to talk all about this because that's my next thing.
Oh, really?
That is my next thing. Well, as I'm learning, I'm understanding everything is energy. Everything has a frequency. Yeah. So if I'm going to be teaching people emotional mastery and healing,
yeah,
I want to master the frequency healing and energy healing because it's such a giant part of who we are.
Oh,
and before modern medicine, that's what was done.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I want to return back to that purity. But yeah, if you have tips, tricks, books, let me know, because I am like chomping at the bit.
Well, yeah, I wanted to talk a little bit about it because also in that talk by Gary Zukav last night, he talked about how you, when you feel the fear, right? Where in your body do you feel it?
Yeah.
Where in your body do you feel it? And when you can locate it in your body, right? Then you can start to, depending on what chakra it's in. So like if it's, you feel it in your stomach, right? That's your the power, the solar plexus chakra, like the power chakra, right? If it's in your legs, like mine tend to always be in my legs. Not always, but a lot of times. The fear, yeah, it's in my legs.
Interesting.
And that's the root chakra, feeling grounded, feeling safe, feeling secure. Mm-hmm. You can start to really kind of narrow in specifically on what it is, like where this fear is coming from. If you can really begin, if in the chest, this area, the heart chakra, right? Mm-hmm. But it's so important to listen to your body because your body doesn't lie. Your body,
ever. Doesn't lie. Your body is the most truthful vessel.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I remember when I was studying, I had an instructor and she was doing, I don't even think she was doing body work on me. I think she was just talking to me. And she said, you know, you have all this energy up here, but down below, it's, you don't have a lot of energy, right? Because I'm always like in my head thinking, overanalyzing, blah, 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 blah.
Oh, I can relate.
Feeling grounded, never feeling grounded. And so the exercises like going outside and, you know, walking along the grass in your bare feet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That really helps a lot. And just, you know, but it's so important to be aware of your energetic field, mm-hmm. your energy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I feel like people listening to this, if you learn nothing else than to cultivate awareness around what you're feeling, that is the catalyst for so much.
Mm-hmm.
We block it out. We numb it out. We don't want to feel stuff. Yeah. But if we are brave enough to address what it is that we're feeling and cultivate awareness around it,
mm-hmm.
oh my gosh, a whole new world opens up.
Yeah.
A whole new way of being and connecting with yourself and others.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's, I can't even really explain the power of energy. I mean, this is really spooky. This is going to sound spooky, but we did long distance healing. Right. When I was.
Yeah.
And so I had a client, he was a friend of a friend. And I did this long distance healing on him. And to this day, he still talks about that. Just how amazed he was at how he could, at the time when I was working on him from a distance energetically, he could feel it. And that's just, and I know it sounds like, you know, woo woo-y.
Not to me.
But yeah, but it's so true that your thoughts about people can really affect that person. I mean, they don't even really know they're being affected.
It is so, it's mind-boggling. And in our culture, we have just not been taught to tap into that. Mm-hmm. But I think about it, I love the movie, it's a Matthew McConaughey movie, Interstellar, because it's a visual representation of what I believe is actually happening. Mm-hmm. Time is not horizontal, it's vertical.
Mm-hmm.
And everything is happening all at once, but also, that we are connected by threads of energy. Yeah. I'm connected to somebody in China right now. I'm connected to somebody in Australia. Like, we're all so connected. So it makes perfect sense to me mm-hmm. that as you are doing this energetic feeling long distance,
yeah.
energetic healing long distance, that person can feel it acutely.
Yeah.
And it can revolutionize their life, mm-hmm. especially when we come at it from a place of love.
Yeah.
And purity. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh.
Yes.
It's like whole new, I mean, realities, but whole new like ways of walking in the world
mm-hmm.
are possible mm-hmm. and open up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I believe in it more than I believe in the fact that the walls in this room are white. Like, for real. I feel like so often what we see is so not real. Mm-hmm. And the energy that we're talking about is the most real thing available to us.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can, I mean, even if you don't tend to believe this, you can feel it. I mean, this is why when you see someone, you know, cut themselves, or you see someone crying in pain, you can feel it, right? Mm-hmm. Or when someone really close to you passes away, it's energetic relationship between you that you feel being severed. Like, that's all energy. And
it's so real. Well, and for the skeptic listener that's listening right now, think about this. When you walk into a room of strangers and there are people that you are energetically attracted to, but then on the opposite side, there are people that you are energetically repelled by. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows that feeling.
For sure.
That's real. That's energy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's palpable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, as a high school teacher, like being in a classroom of like 30 different, 30 kids, like you have all different types of personalities, and you can, sometimes it can be exhausting, all those different,
I can imagine,
at one time. But it's so interesting to just observe how they're all interacting with each other and how I'm feeling in the midst of their interactions, right? It's also magical. I mean, that's the only word I can really use to describe that.
And how lucky are they to have you, a teacher that understands that and can recognize that?
Yeah, it really did change my approach to teaching too, for sure. Yeah. Oh my goodness, Jacqueline, I feel like I could just keep talking and talking and talking to you. This is... Yeah, this is amazing. But tell us where we can find you.
Yes, I would say jacquelinesteele.com is the easiest. That's kind of like my hub. It's jacquelinesteele.com. And then I'm pretty active on Instagram. I'm not super active on any of the other platforms, but on Instagram, I'm at Jacqueline Steele.
And do you have any, I'll give you this opportunity, any last words of wisdom or encouragement for people who are feeling like they just have no power in their lives, or like nothing's going the way they want, and they're feeling kind of hopeless?
First of all, I know that feeling deeply. And second, instead of fighting it, I would invite you to be in it and ask what it has to teach you. Mm-hmm. Because there's a reason and there's a season for everything. I believe in my bone marrow that life is happening for us, not to us. So that stuckness, as painful as it may be, as frustrating as it may be, as anxiety-inducing as it may be, it's there to teach you and to guide you into a better place. So the more willing you are to sit in it and stay in it and learn from it, the faster you'll be released from it.
That's powerful. Thank you so much.
Thank you. This was so much fun. I loved connecting with you. And I definitely want to hear more about your energy healing and all of that too. So yeah, let's connect.
I'm going to stop recording, but I'm just going to chat with you for a moment.
Yeah.
This has been one of my favorite conversations with the guest, because Jacqueline is so passionate about transformation and about energy and all of the things that we typically overlook when trying to cure our diseases. And I am very excited for her and to see where she's going to go with her interest in energy healing, because it's such a powerful tool to use, and everyone has the capacity to heal using the tools of energy healing, to be able to really tap into what they are feeling in their body, tap into how their thoughts are affecting their feelings in their body, how their emotions are affecting their body, and to heal that intentionally by focusing in on the energy within you. So if you are interested in learning more about Jacqueline and her podcast and her blog and all that she has to offer, then please visit her website. And I'm sure you will not be disappointed. And in the meantime, you can also visit zazel.com and sign up for my newsletter. And you can follow me on social media. And also you can follow Jacqueline on Instagram. You can follow me on Instagram and Facebook at Motivation to Write and on Twitter at Ebony Haywood. Thank you so much for tuning in. And I look forward to seeing you next week when I talk to another fabulous guest. Bye-bye.